Good evening, everybody. Nice, small, nice group. Not too overwhelming. So we'll talk a little bit about Tshuva, a beautiful, beautiful piece that I personally find very, very inspiring. And we'll share it together. This coming Shabbos, Parshas Re'eh, is already Shabbos Mevarchin Chodesh Elul. We're going to have 2 days Rosh Chodesh next week. Elul is the last month of the year. The mazel for the month of Elul is the besula, the young woman. How does that play a role? The pasuk in Yirmiyah tells us, and we're going to read it, Shuvu, shuvi besulas Yisrael, shuvi elorayach ele. Return, O young, beautiful nation of Klal Yisrael. Return to your city. Elul is a time for return. These are words of Yirmiyah. They are part of the Nechama, the Shiva de Nechemta. He's referring to Klal Yisrael returning from Golos back to the city of Yerushalayim. But of course, it's not only a physical return, but certainly as well, it's a spiritual return. We're zochet to come back to the holy city of Yerushalayim. It's a time to rebuild our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elul, ani ledodi vedodi li. Hashem himself says, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. It is a time of return, of teshuva. When we think of the word teshuva, the immediate understanding in our minds is teshuva. We have to get rid of our averos. Something wrong was done. We have to get rid of that wrongdoing. We have a bad habit. We have to get rid of that bad habit. So teshuva takes on a certain understanding of sur meira. But we can never forget that teshuva is a word that means to return. So return means to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly you need the sur meira. Certainly we have to get rid of our averos, of our midos rose. But it is a return back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back to our pristine state, back to reach the levels that go up to the Kisei HaKavod itself. That's what Tshuva is really. The Sur Meira, but it's the eventual Aseh Tov, to be able to do good, to reach ever higher levels of closeness to Hashem. But on the other hand, since there is a Sur Meira, since we do have to get rid of our evil parts, so tshuva is a malacha gedola. It's a tremendous undertaking to do tshuva. It's an avodah rabba, tremendous work. It takes energy and focus, it takes strength, it takes resolve. And the task of tshuva can be daunting. What is the actual task of tshuva? So the Shari Tshuva teaches us there's a three-prong approach. The basic yesodos of tshuva are charata, regret, vidui, verbal admission to our wrongdoing, and then azivas hachet, the resolve to no longer do any wrong. That's the basic three parts of tshuva, charata, vidui, and azivas hachet. The Shari Tshuva shows us that even within these three, the Shari Tshuva breaks it down into 20 different parts. So that tshuva is a very, very intricate and important and difficult task. It's a tremendous undertaking. And a person may, chas v'shalom, come to feel overwhelmed and may reach a state of yiyush. He may say, I give up, it's impossible. So immediately the Shari Tshuva comes to us and he says, don't give up. Why not? Because Hashem tells us, Ki yazar Hashem lashovim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here to help those that want to return. How so? Kasher ein yad tivam maseges. Even when naturally, yad tivam, their natural state does not allow them, maseges, to reach those high levels, Hashem is here to help us. As long as we're sincere, as long as we're honest, and we make our hishtadlus, we make one step forward, says the Shari Tshuva, Yechadesh Hashem bikir bo, Hashem will renew within him, Ruach Tahara, a pure spirit, Lahasig Ma'ala Sahavaso, to reach the great high levels of Hashem's love. For we're going to read in the parasha of Nitzavim and Vayelech, Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha, return till HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see that the whole term of tshuva refers to going back to Hashem. Vishamata bakolo, and you'll listen to his voice. Kuchal asher nochi mitzavcha hayom, all that I've commanded you today. Ata uvanecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. And Hashem says, you'll listen to everything that I said. You'll serve me with your entire heart, with your entire soul. And then a pasuk later, Hashem says, umol Hashem elokecha es levavcha, ves levav zerecha lahasig ahavaso. Hashem says that I will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children so that you'll be able to reach my love. So we have two sides of one coin. The coin of tshuva has one side which can be the undaunting, the very daunting task of tshuva, of being of giving tremendous energy and focus on returning and falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up. And on the other side of the coin, we know, and it's important to constantly remember, that Hashem is always there to help us. Tonight's feature presentation is about Elazar ben Derdaya. Elazar ben Derdaya is famous for being able to go from the deepest of the deep to go so high until the point that from Shemayim they give him the title of Smicha, as if he was a Tana and he was called Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya. Let us examine who this Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya is. And then we will see the unbelievable siyata d'shmaya, this tremendous miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and does for each and every one of us, even when we are in the depths of sin. Tanya, we learned in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Amru Lava Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. We were taught about Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. The title Rebbe will come later at the end of the story, but we'll call him Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. Shel hiniach zona achas ba'olam shlo ba'aleha. Elazar ben Derdaya was so committed to the avera of zonos, of adultery, that any harlot that was available upon planet Earth, he made use of. Pam achas, one time, shama, he heard, shiyesh zona achas, he heard that there was a particular harlot, bekorche hayom, way out in the islands of some small village on the other side of the sea. V'hoysa noteles kis dinrin b'schara, and her charge was a tremendous amount of money. Notal kis dinrin, he took this tremendous amount of money, v'holach, and he went, v'avar aleha shiva naharos, and he traveled seven seas in those days just to be able to reach her. Can you imagine how involved, how deep, how low this Elazar ben Derdaya was? Not only local, but if it meant traveling seven seas, he would go. We know that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. Elazar ben Derdaya served his avera b'chol levavcha. His desire to do it left no zona unturned. B'chol nafshecha, he was willing to give up his life and sail the stormy seas in those days. V'chol me'odecha, and we serve Hashem with all your resources, with all your money. He was willing to give up a tremendous amount just to be able to do the avera. So here is a man who is involved in avera beyond our wildest dreams. We know that the person's name is very significant to who they are. Who is this Ben Derdaya? Derdaya is the shemetz. It's the leftover sediment of wine that has no use whatsoever. Even wine that is spoiled, that becomes chometz, becomes vinegar, so vinegar has some use, even though it's spoiled, but it can be used in some positive cooking fashion. Elazar ben Derdaya was Derdaya. He was so low that he was Derdaya, the sediment of the wine that has no use, And he was really Ben Durdaya. He was even lower than the Durdaya itself. That's who he was. Ben Durdaya. At the same time, what's his first name? Elazar. Kel Ozer. Hashem helps. Let's continue on to see what happens. He arrives at his destination, and he reaches her, and the most unusual thing happens. The Gemara doesn't leave anything out. Bishas Hergel Dovar, at the moment that he was involved to do the Avera, Heficha, this Zona passed Gaz. Omra, she said, Kishem Shehaficha Zu Einechozeres Lemakoma, just as this wind will not return back to its place, Kach Alozo Ben Durdaya and Mekablim Oso B'tshuva. So to you, Alozo Ben Durdaya, you are not accepted to do teshuva. Your life is over. You have no worth. Just as this wind, this ruach, which has no use, it is nothing, it's going to dissipate and be gone, that is who you are. That is your destiny. That is the state that you are in right now. There's a machlokis among the Rishonim exactly what took place. What is it? Was it a baskol from Shemayim that he heard, or was it a baskol that she heard and related it to him? But for our purposes, the understanding that we're going to use is that Elazar ben Durdaya heard it from her mouth, and he recognized it as a message from above to him. We know harbei shluchim lamakom, many directional signals in the world. And he saw this as a message to him. When he heard that, immediately within him, there was a hisorus. He chapped himself. He at that moment realized, he says, I'm standing at the abyss. As my follower says, he was at Glenmont. He was at the end of the line. But he realized he was not off the train. He was at the end of the line. He was at the edge. He was on the edge of the cliff, but he was not off yet. He felt, if they gave me the message, that means I still have an address. I'm not completely gone yet. But what I do recognize is that I'm holding at, it's either now or never. And what's interesting is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works is that sometimes when the person reaches that last very moment, it's the very chet itself. The avera itself is the thing, the very thing, that's going to be the conduit to bring the person to do teshuva. That too can be found in his name. Says the Maharal, Miprag, the chet itself was the act that caused him. It was in that moment of time that brought him to do teshuva. Says the Maharal, look at his name again. Elazar, Hakel Ozro, Hashem helped him, Lashuv, to do teshuva. That's Elazar. Ben, as a result of Durdaya, this lowly state, meaning the Avera. Hashem helped him as a result of the Avera itself. Elazar ben Durdaya. So that although he was on the lowest levels, there's one thing that we know always remains and exists, and is a given and given to a person as a last chance, and that is that very last spark. The remnants of that last spark remained within Elazar ben Durdaya, and there was a havtacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Lo ma'astim, lo ga'altim lachalosam. Hashem promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that Klal Yisrael would never be completely destroyed. This, of course, again, not only means in a physical sense, but even more importantly, in a spiritual sense. We will never, ever, Klal Yisrael, as a nation, and as well as individuals, will never be given a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives up on him. I say this in class many times. Kids do things wrong. So the language that I use in class is that you can never do something that's irreversible. I say, Hashem always allows someone to do tshuva, you can also do tshuva. So though something wrong was done and there was a negative consequence given to you, but a Rebbe, you should always know, you could always do tshuva. And this way the message should be given that there's never, they should never give up. There should never be a sense of yish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives up. There is always one last remnant of a spark to be left. However, it's upon, the onus is upon the person to grab this last moment. When he's awakened, when he's given this message, when the directional signal is right before him, it's his job to take hold of it, to grab it, and to become a kli kibul, to become a vessel of acceptance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to hit you over the head and force you to do tshuva. He will only, the promise is that he will give you that last chance, that his orus. In our ni'ila tefillah, in the tefillas ni'ila that we say on Yom Kippur, we have the following phrase. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata nosen yad laposhim, you give a hand to the wrongdoers, the yemincha, and your right hand, pishuta, is outstretched, lekabel shavim, to accept those that are returning. What is this yad, this hand, the yemincha, and this right hand? So if the yemincha is right hand, we'll have to say the yad is the left hand. Left hand representing the weaker hand. So we say as follows, ata nosen yad laposhim, you Hashem, you give the left hand to the posheya, to the wrongdoer. You give him a light nudge to awaken him, to inspire him to do teshuvah. It's upon the person then to grab hold, to make much of the moment. And when he does so, and he says, I'm going to do teshuvah, I'm going to try to return to you, Hashem, to come close to you, then yemincha peshuta lekabel shavim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu siyata deshmaya with its full strength and thrust comes forth and helps lift the person up to be able to do teshuvah and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does Rabbi Elazar ben Dudaya go from here? At this point, you can imagine, when you're given such a message, you're worth nothing. You have no greater existence in this world than that ruach, than that wind that just passed by. He feels he's gone. What worth do I have to exist? Holach, he went, v'yashav, and he said, bein shnei har mugvos, between two mountains and hills. Omar, he said, har mugvos, mountains and hills, I beg of you, bikshu olai rachamim, beg upon me mercy from the Almighty. Omru lo, they said back to him in response, atcha'onu mevakshim olecha, until we can ask for you, nevakesh al atzmenu, we have to first ask for ourselves. And they quote a pasuk, ki haharim yamushu vagvos temutena, the hills and the mountains are not in existence forever, and therefore we have to daven for ourselves first. Omar, he called out, shemayim v'aretz, heaven and earth, bikshu olai rachamim, beg mercy for me. Amru lo, they said back to him, atchanu mevakshim alecha, nevakesh al atzmenu, before we can ask for you, we have to ask for ourselves. Because the pasuk says, "Ki shemayim ki osha nimlechu v'oretz kebeged niftivla," heaven and earth are not here forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually redo the universe, whatever it means. But they said, we need to daven for ourselves. We cannot daven for you. Omar, he called out, "Chama levana, sun and moon, bikshu lai rachamim, beg mercy for me." Amru, they said, "Al shenavakshim alecha, nevakesh al atzmenu." Before we can beg for you, we have to beg for ourselves. Because it says, v'chafara halavana ubusha achama. We're not here forever. Omar, he called out, kochavim mazalos, stars and mazalos, bikshu lai rachamim, beg up for me. Amru lo, they said to him the same response, atchanam avakshim olecha, nevakish al atzmenu. Before we can ask for you, we have to ask for ourselves, v'nimku kol tzva hashamayim. We're not going to be here forever. Why was it that Elazar ben Dudaya, in this devastated state, he turns to the parts of the world to ask for Rachamim to be in existence? What does he intend to gain? So the Maharal Miprag again comes through with a tremendous insight. And he says the following, and this is based upon the classic paragraph of the Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim says as follows, Ki im ha'adam nimshach achar ha'olam. This is in Perek Aleph of Mesilas Shesharim. Ki im ha'adam nimshach achar ha'olam. For if man is drawn after this world, u'misarachek miboro, and he distances himself from his Creator, hinehu miskalkel, not only does he destroy himself, u'makalkel ha'olam imo, he in addition brings down the level of the world in addition as well. Vim hu sholit ba'atzmo, and if he has shalita over himself, if he has control upon himself, v'nidvak biboro, and he clings to his Creator, u'mishtamish min ha'olam, and he makes use of this world, the physical world, rak liyos lo, that it should only be for him, l'siyua, as an assistance, as a helper, la'avodas boro, to help him in his service to his Creator, hu misala, he raises himself, v'ho'olam atzmo misala imo, and the world itself as well become raised with him. I thought on one level we could understand it, that he recognized that just as Hashem said to Adam HaRishon, be careful, do not destroy my world by doing averos, because doing averos destroys world. We do mitzvos, it brings spiritual and thereby physical existence to the world. When we say a bracha, when we learn Torah, it makes the fruits more juicy, it gives more vitamins and minerals to the meat and to the vegetables that we eat. So Elazar ben Derdaya was the cause for these physical beings of the world to have been lowered, and therefore he turned to them to, so to say, ask if they could help him. Even though he had destroyed them, he said, you're the one that I turn to because I want to show you that I'm willing to help you be raised back up. But what do we see from this Mesilas Shesharim? That the purpose of creation, the physical world, everything in the physical world is for the purpose of serving Klal Yisrael in order to be able to serve Hashem. True existence in this world is an existence that is made up of serving Hashem. If we have something physical and in no way does it have any purpose of serving Hashem, so its chashivos, its importance in this world really doesn't exist. It's not an important item. And that's why physical items used for the service of Hashem have a greater chashivos. You could have one piece of wood and you could have another piece of wood. If one piece of wood is used to be able to hold the Torah, then that piece of wood is a holier piece of wood that was used outside on somebody's steps to be able to walk up. Either both pieces of wood, one certainly is more chashiv. A piece of parchment, when it's used for a Sefer Torah, it has the greatest chashivas, it has the greatest level of Kedusha and Tara. So to man, the person that is used, he uses his physical body to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that physical body is a Sefer Torah. That physical body has to be buried. Why? Because it's chashuv. It was used in the service of Hashem. Every aspect of that physical being has Kedusha and Tara to it. But Elazar ben Derdaya, whose entire existence was for non-Avodas Hashem, just the opposite, we used for total Avera, he was like this hafecha. He was like that piece, that wind, that has no existence. So he felt, I have no relevant existence in this world. I have no worth. I have no service unto Hashem. My whole physical being plays no role. Therefore, what do I do? He said to himself, maybe, I can find some existence in connection with the physical world and become a being that's here just to be able to serve the rest of Klal Yisrael. I have no more worth because my being haven't done any mitzvos, I haven't done anything to be able to consider myself a davar chashuv, something of importance. So he said, maybe I could get a zchus to be able to remain in existence by becoming a chelik of the Bria. I'll become part of creation. In some way, Hashem, use me, my physical being, my existence in this world, to act as a service for Klal Yisrael in some shape, form, or manner, and therefore I'll be able to attain an existence. That was his concept. Says the Maharal, a beautiful insight. He says, what did they answer him? They said, before we could ask for you, we have to ask for ourselves. What did they mean by that? What they said was as follows. You're a man. A man is a higher level than just the creations that were created. Our existence is a timed existence. Our purpose is for this world and this world only. Your whole purpose has no shaychus to us. It has no connection whatsoever. Why? Because your whole purpose is for Olam Haba. Our whole purpose is for Olam Hazeh. Until we can ask for you, we have to ask for ourselves. Meaning, until we ask for you, which means that you should have your true existence, which is to be able to exist for the purpose of attaining Olam Haba, we have to ask for ourselves that we should be able to get Olam Haba. Since we have no connection to Olam Haba, there's no way we can ask for you. We're just in two different ball games, or two different ballparks, or two different worlds. And therefore, we have no connection. We don't have the source. We're not in a condition. We have no capacity to ask for you. We can only ask for ourselves first before we ask for you because we have no connection to Olam Haba. Your whole purpose is Olam Haba. And now we reach the climax of our presentation. Elazar ben Dedaya sits. He's told by the Zohar that he's a worthless being. He has no connection to tshuva. He's devastated. He goes out to the world and begs of the physical creation. They answer back to him, they say, we have no connection to you. You're a person whose existence is Olam Haba. The only way that you can exist is from your own self. We cannot help you. At that moment, Elazar ben Dedaya realizes, he recognizes, he deheres, he appreciates with a full understanding the following words. Ein hadavar toloi ella bi. The matter cannot be hinged upon anything else ella bi, except for myself. The only one in the world that can really, really help me is me. I'm the only one. Others can encourage me. Others can assist me. But who is it really, really dependent upon? It's upon me. They've awakened me. They've given me inspiration from heaven. I've been given a message. Again, it can't be that I'm in the abyss and gone forever. I must still have an address because they sent me a letter. They sent me a message. And so, what we learn from Elazar ben Dedaya is that at this moment, he said, in the world of Kochos HaNefesh, in the world of human dynamics, we know that when things are not going smooth, when things don't work out perfectly, when our world that is around us affects us negatively, and it affects us to the point where we say, I can't serve Hashem in my full capacity, or I can't serve Hashem or do this at all, a person has to recognize and see and realize that all outside and external factors that affect him or her are only there to provide him with the hurdle, with the nisayon. But to rise above it is within him to do. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never give it to him or her. Naturally, what a person wants to do is say, if only this situation was better, I would be able to do it. And there are a million and one examples, if the davening was correct, I'll be able to daven better. If the yeshiva was correct, I'll be able to learn better. There, in every matzav, in every situation a person finds himself, there are always factors that could technically be better, in which the person has the ability to technically rely upon to say, if it would be better, I would only be able to do it. But because of these external factors that are causing the hurdle, which are affecting me negatively, I can't serve Hashem because of that. Now, of course, there are situations which are, of course, that hinder a person from actually serving Hashem. No question about it. But the person has to recognize, I think the MS of the issue, the truth always results in the following. How does it affect our midos? If I can't serve Hashem right now, if I can't daven 100%, because whatever external factors are which are beyond my control, how does it affect my equilibrium? My full capacity. These external factors caused me to be upset because I wasn't able to serve Hashem, and I sincerely, honestly wanted to serve Hashem. I wanted to daven well. I wanted to learn. I wanted to do that mitzvah. I wanted to do that chesed. But look at all these external factors that are stopping me. Okay, good. So you weren't able to do it, or you weren't able to do it 100%. So now what? What's the reaction? Ein hadavar tolei elavi. The matter is totally upon me. To do what? To stay calm. To be able to still serve Hashem as much as we can. Our job is not to blame and not to say, that the cause of our inabilities is because of others, but rather see and look at ourselves. Ein hadavar toloi, the matter is only dependent elabi, only within me, within my capacity. As much as I can do, I will do. I'm sincere. I'm honest. And once Hashem sees that, you'll have the siyata d'shmaya. And the siyata d'shmaya could be either that you should do it, or maybe the siyata d'shmaya could be that you don't do it. Who knows what Hashem's cheshbon is? But the matter is totally in me. And if I was not able to do it, so Hashem didn't want me to do it. But it shouldn't affect my midos. It shouldn't affect my calmness. It shouldn't affect the way my interpersonal relationships. Because self, I was trying to do my best. I wanted to serve Hashem. Two more sources, and then we'll end. The Mishnah in Avos, a very famous Mishnah. Hillel Omer, Hillel tells us, Im ein ani li, mi li. If I am not for myself, who is for me? Ukshani la'atzmi, mo ani. If I'm only for myself, what am I? Vim lo achshav emasai. And if not now, when? Says Rabbeinu Yonah the following, Im ein ani li, mi li. If I'm not for myself, then who is for me? He says the following, so important. If a person does not awaken his own self, then what is it going to help? All the mussar that will be given by others on the outside. I remember when I was in yeshiva, many, many years ago, I was attending a particular class within the yeshiva, and it wasn't going well. I was not learning well in that class. And the Rebbe was an older Rebbe. He was, you know, from Europe. He had learned by great Rosh Yeshivas in Europe, and he was already an elderly gentleman. And I remember at the end of the Zman, he came over and he let me know, I don't think that my particular class should, I don't think that you should continue to attend my class any longer. It doesn't seem that you're not being matzliach in the class, and you shouldn't attend it. And the next Zman comes, it's better not attend it. Attend all the other classes, but mine doesn't seem to be working out. Forget it. So I said, Rebbe, why didn't you tell me beforehand? If you saw it wasn't doing good, like, how did you let me just go and down? Why didn't you tell me anything? So he said to me, maybe you're right. Could be you're right, I should have told you. But this is where it's holding now. That's how I feel. That was the end of it. So I was very upset. How all this time there's nothing's going to happen? Like, you know, why don't you give me some musa, let me know how I'm, you know, let me know. So I went to an older fellow in the yeshiva, and I asked him, I said, what's the pshat? Well, why did this happen? I said, he's a chashev, a rebbe, a machshev, I hold him in high regard. But he never said anything to me. What's the pshat? He said, let me ask you a question. Did you know how you were doing? Yes. Do we have in general in the yeshiva an encouragement to do well in classes? Yes, of course. He said, I want to tell you a Rabbeinu Yonah. And he told me this Rabbeinu Yonah, and I never forgot it since then. He said, I want to tell you Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, I'm not telling you whether the Rebbe was right or wrong. He says, you'll see after this Rabbeinu Yonah why he did what he did. I'm just explaining to you why he did what he did. He said, the true tochacha, the true musar, only comes from a person's own desire for his own self to love Musar, to love Tochacha, to love rebuke, tell me if I'm doing something wrong, and for his own self to be Ma'oreh, to inspire his own self. A person could be you can have the Chofetz Chaim himself. You could have Rabbi Sol Salanter standing here and giving a shmooze, and you could have the greatest orators of the world describe the beauty of Olam Haba down to the fires of Gehenna. And we'll walk out of here inspired, but it's short-lived. Ultimate success in Avodas Hashem comes when the person has within his own self the capacity to be Ma'orer himself. One cannot rely, a person can say, it can't rely on the rabbi. Say, the rabbi's speech wasn't so inspirational today, so Memela, my Avodas Hashem is not so inspiring. A person can say, things didn't go well, and Memela, I obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send me all those messages of inspiration. This year's Tshuva Drasha was not the one I really needed to hear, so it's just not going to be the same Yerushal Yom Kippur. That's not MS. A person knows what he needs for his own self, and a person has to be honest. He can't rely upon others. Ein hadava toloi elo bi. That's number one. The last thing I'd like to end with is the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim on the Torah. Chofetz Chaim says, beautiful Dvar Torah, I love this Dvar Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in front of the burning bush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, remove your shoes, because HaMakom Asher Ata Omed Alav, the place upon which you are standing, Admas Kodesh Hu, that is holy, sanctified ground. Says the Chofetz Chaim homiletically. He says, Ki Ha'adam Choshev, for man can think, Benasho, within himself, when God will expand his boundaries, v'yutav matzavo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create a better situation for the person to be in, az yasok b'torah v'mitzvos. It is then that the person says, I'll involve myself with Torah, I'll involve myself with mitzvos. Avalo chein achshav, but I can't do it right now, kishu b'tzara o mitzuka, when I'm in such a difficult and straining situation. V'loze omar akosuv. This is not what the pasuk, because olaze omar akosuv. It is to this that the Torah says, ki hamakom asher ata omed olav, for the place upon which you are standing. Haino, this means to say, ba'oso matzav, upon this very situation, or ba'oso shan, in this very moment, kodeshu, that's the holy moment. That's the sanctified moment. The Efshar, because it's possible, Sheratzon Hashem, who davka ba'avoda, but also shah hadachuka. For it's possible that Hashem wants to be served under these very conditions. It's not that my tefillah is not such a good tefillah today. Just the opposite. Hashem wanted you to taka squeeze out whatever amount of energy you could to concentrate within that tefillah, although surrounding us is there's a tremendous amount of ini'imot, uncomfortability, things that are just not in the spirit of being able to do the mitzvah I want to do. Hashem says, it's under those very conditions that I want to show the whole world that look, even under these conditions, you'll serve me. I know it won't be like mamish, you won't feel like you're malach floating on top of the clouds that you served Hashem so well. But despite that, serve me under those pressing conditions, because that's the way I want to be served. I want to show myself, I want it to be shown that my children serve me under those pressing conditions. And we know that one who does a mitzvah b'tzar is 100 times greater than one done without tzar. Ulufum tzara agra, and according to the pain is the gain. Under those conditions, even though it's so difficult to serve Hashem, Hashem will give us the reward for trying so hard. And we end off with the word Rebbe. In what way did they say in Shemayim, the Gemara ends off, Yotzes a baskel came out, v'omra, and said, Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, mezuman l'chayei ha'olam haba. He is destined, he is prepared, it's awaiting for him the life of Olam Haba. In what way is he called a Rebbe? Why did he receive that title? He's a Rebbe for us. He teaches us the Derech of Tshuva. He teaches us that no matter how forlorn, how far gone, how far away we are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can always, always return. Just go ahead.